Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is episode 2 with Chris Wong. I'm at NC Annual Meeting. Annual Meeting is for all Southern Baptist churches and leaders from North Carolina are gathering together once a year. And I'm sitting with Chris Wong, and he is visiting from Georgia. He works for North American Mission Board. Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well.
So how do you feel about coming to this North Carolina annual meeting?
Oh, it's been great. So, I mean, just to get to meet all the pastors and leaders that are doing some amazing work here in North Carolina, it's been just a privilege just to get to meet with them, connect with them, and just to be amongst them.
Great. Do you think North Carolina people are hospitable?
Very hospitable. Oh, yes. I could definitely take some lessons from them.
Awesome. That's great. I know the Georgia people are also very hospitable.
Oh, yes, for sure.
We're in the South.
Well, being from Miami, yes, we could.
Well, today I want to know more about your ministry as second generation church mobilizer. So let me ask you more of a context question. Like, tell us about your previous ministry experiences.
Yeah, so when I became a Christian, I had the privilege of serving there at Christ Fellowship in Miami, Florida. My sister was serving there as a children's director, and becoming a Christian, really, I was just wanting to serve in any way that I can. Any opportunity that there was for me to serve, I wanted to take up on that. And so I served in with the prayer team, with the college young adults, with the middle school ministry, in teaching and preaching. And upon there, that's where I started seeing that God was giving me a clear call into ministry. I didn't know exactly what that was. It seemed like it was going to be for pastoral ministry. And so with that sense of calling, that's when I sought after to study, to prepare myself for ministry. That's when I decided to go to Southern Seminary. So I was a student there. Spent 5 years from 2012 to 2016, the December 2016. And from there, I had the opportunity really to serve even as a chaplain there at Churchill Downs. That was within the last 3 years of my seminary education. So I was ordained at Audubon Baptist Church, local church there in Louisville, Kentucky. Pastor Daniel Hatfield, who really helped me to really develop me to that point of ministering in the racetrack. And so I had the opportunity to get to serve there at the racetrack. The racetrack ministry is a very unique ministry. You have folks that are from Guatemala and from Mexico, from different parts of Central America and South America, that come from those countries to work within here in the United States. And many of them you'll find within the racetrack. And having the opportunity to get to minister among them, being a spiritual presence, and especially too that, at least for me, one of my giftings is evangelism. I love to evangelize and connect with people. So had the opportunity to really get to do that there, to really be there alongside the people, to be there in their high points, also in their low points, get to pray with them, get to share them God's word. And I think more than anything, there really is something to the fact that people don't really care what you know, but more how you love them, and how you care for them. They really get sense that. And so that's one of the things that I learned in ministry that I really have had the experience to do for 3 years. And upon that, I sensed that the Lord was calling me to, upon graduation, to consider to move into the local ministry, to local church ministry. And in just wrestling with what would it look like after graduation, to serve within a local ministry, a local church ministry, I sensed that God was calling me to move to New York. And so started serving at a church there, First Baptist Church of Flushing, and had the opportunity to get to serve with youth ministry there. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to get to not only minister there, but also minister in the city and getting to meet folks there from the community. Flushing is like one of the Chinatowns there in New York City. And it was just something strategic that God just worked in bringing me there, because not only I had the opportunity to get to serve amongst Latinos, but also amongst Chinese and Korean. And being that I do have a last name that is Wong, which my great-great-grandfather was Chinese, it was just, having all those connections and experiences that really has led it to this point of working with the North American Mission Board.
Sweet. Well, what is your current role?
So my current role is with Second Generation Church Mobilizer. Really, my focus is to to discover and to develop church planters for that are second generation to deploy them to within our local churches.
Mm-hmm. What is the biggest need you see among second generations in the United States?
That's a really good question. One of the things that I see, and I think even personally, is that a lot of us have a lot of Christian energy that we want to expend. Sometimes, you know, the outlets of where we could serve maybe is not too clear. And so I do see that there is maybe, you know, some of our second generation young peoples that are desirous to serve God, and they just don't know how, don't know where. And so I think that is one of the maybe some of the challenges, some of the things that we see that of need of showing that, hey, there is outlets where you could serve God in very meaningful ways. That being, you know, a pastor, that being a missionary, that being a church planner, that being even working within the context of your work, how we can integrate your faith with work, and just being a salt and light in your context. And I see that as one of the needs. Also leadership development. I think we do a good job in discipling folks, but then how can we take it to that next level of developing them to be leaders, leaders that could be missional leaders, to engage their communities, to engage the context of work. And so, and I think even too, that there could be a sense of affirmation that sometimes it feels like we could be overlooked, because it's just like, you know, the youth, you know, the young people that, you know, they're there, they can have their own thing, but then how can we mobilize that second generation, young people, or just second generation in general, seeing that they are a unique task force, missions force that God has really, I think, is raising up, that we could deploy them for missions work.
Well, speaking of leadership, can you tell us a little bit about the leadership pipeline?
Yes. So the North American Mission Board has developed a tool for our local churches, and this is a tool that is used to help to discover and to develop and deploy church planting teams from within. One of the things that we see that is for us to have the many church plants that we want to see in North America, to push back, you know, that the darkness and the lostness that's in our country, and especially not only here in the United States but also in Canada. We need teams of church planters, a church planting team to be deployed. But before they could be deployed, they need to be developed. And so we have developed a tool for a leader within a church that would like to champion that cause, especially with the backing of our senior pastor and really with that vision of wanting to multiply. We have developed this tool in order for it to be a resource to help in that development, in that sense of equipping of our members within our church to church planting, if that's what the Lord is calling for that to take place.
How can we access to that resource?
Oh, that resource is going to be with www.nam.net/pipeline. So all the information is there with even more detailed information as to how you will be able to acquire that tool. You just simply need to register, and from there you have it where you have access.
www.namb.net/pipeline.
Pipeline, correct, right. Awesome. There. You said it much better than I did.
Great, great. Well, why is church planting important?
Well, I think church planting is important because I believe it's biblical. We see within the early church that Paul was going out there to the many places in his missionary journeys in order to establish a church, a community of believers in Jesus Christ. And there's just something about the local church, that local church that's being established, that serves as a witness to the watching world, that there's many places within the United States that are they have large pockets of lostness. And one of the most effective ways that we see for evangelism to take place, most effective means of evangelism we see is through church planting. As far as allocating and to allocating resources and bringing those resources together in a church plant, we see that there's more baptism that ensues. And so we see it just in that it's biblical, that it has really potential to unleash for greater evangelistic impulse within our people. And that is one of the things that we want to help to share that kind of vision to our to our churches.
Great. How is second generation church planting different from other church planting?
Well, second generation, well, we need to understand two realities with second generation. And it's very simple, it's these two realities, that the second generation, we have a different, we have, our heart language is English. So when we consider either you are Hispanic or you are Asian or you're white European, that the children that are born from our first generation, you know, our first generation parents, we are, our heart language is English. So it's understanding that our heart language is English, but then also too that we do grow up with a, there's a cultural difference between our first generation church and within us as second generation. We have a, we tend to have a very blended culture, either as American with a little bit of our parents. And so seeing that we live in that hyphen, I know that's been addressed in several books as far as, you know, as a Hispanic American, we live in that hyphen. Being part of a first generation church, we tend to not feel at home within maybe a more American church, Anglo church. We also don't feel at home. So we're right there in the middle. And so one of the, seeing that that is the case, and that there is a large population of second generation, you know, how is it we can mobilize for their, within our first generation churches and even American churches to consider what we could do to deploy efforts into planning for that second generation population.
Great. Now, what is the key strategy of your ministry? What makes your ministry successful in God's eyes?
I think it's in casting that vision of just, even if you're a small church that thinks that, you know, I don't think we could really get involved in church planning, or maybe there's a fear of like what would happen if we were to maybe lose those key leaders that would, you know, take part of this, is to see that, you know, we're engaging in a ministry in which we're seeking to extend the kingdom of God. That our purpose is not to grow or just merely our churches, but to grow the influence of what the gospel could reach to those pockets of lostness. And I believe that God has placed in some, you know, some of our young people a calling in their lives, and so to have that development, to have that affirmation, and have someone to champion that cause for extending the kingdom of God through church planting is one of the things that I see as part of the strategy in helping to mobilize our first generation churches to see that they can embark in it, and they have really the platform where that they could, where that could take place. So it's really casting that vision within our churches, mobilizing them to, maybe it's not only to church plant to be the ones that are sending churches, but that they could support either with resources, with funding, in many ways for there to, you know, establish these church plants. And then thirdly, really, the other strategy would be for us to pray. I mean, there's nothing that we could do without us having that communication with God, that honest communication, that interceding on behalf of those that are lost, and how can we reach them? What can we do in order for them to hear the gospel? And being open and sensitive to God's calling upon our churches and ourselves, and what we could do to change that.
Well, thank you, Chris, for sharing. Thank you. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.